From the land grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 22nd day of January 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett from agmarket.net. We'll hear from Travis Mateer. He's organizing the winter meeting related to the Dudley Smith Farm that'll take place in Taylorville on the 10th day of February. That's Christian County. We'll talk about beef cattle, but so much more, and row croppers that are thinking about the legacies of their soils and cover crops both should consider getting themselves registered. We'll let you know how to do that a bit later in the program. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too, the cold coming into the Midwest, the rest of the nation, and of course, South American crops. We'll do that with Mike Tenura at T-Storm Weather on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio with the Farming World online on demand at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn settled at $4.24. That was up 2.25 cents for the day. The May at 4.32 and a quarter, 2.5 higher. And the December new crop at 4.51 and three quarters up to July, rather March soybeans down a half at 10.64, May at 10.76 and a quarter, a penny and a quarter higher, and November new crop up 2.75 at $10.77 and a quarter cents. Bean meal $4.80 higher, the bean oil down 23 cents, and soft red winter wheat up 7.75. Jim McCormick now joins us. He's with agmarket.net and is filling in for Matt Bennett, who's actually on a plane. I think he's still in the air, although I was able to text with him. Hey, Jim, thanks for filling in for Matt this afternoon. I appreciate that.
No problem. Happy to do it, Todd.
Let's talk about the marketplace. This has been kind of an interesting week on the global front. However, it didn't seem to have much of an impact in the marketplace other than the fundamentals that we expect. Drier weather, maybe conditions in Brazil that has moved the soybeans at some point. What happened today in Chicago?
Well, we saw a relatively quiet day at times, but, you know, it's kind of interesting, Todd. You know, look at the beans. They did surge overnight. That March beans managed to get over the 200-day moving average for a second day in a row. We probed through it yesterday, but closed back below it. We did it again today or last night, and then kind of fought and then kind of failed. So we tried to technically take out some resistance and it pulled back. Part of that might have been the bean oil. The bean oil was down about 25, 27 ticks. It has been on a tear over the last 10 days as you're seeing some fund money come into the bean oil, Todd, I believe, in anticipation of some positive news coming out of the Trump administration about the RVO mandates and what could come down the pipeline in the next 60 days. That has the funds positioning in the bean oil. That's caught the bean oil, caught a bid. That spilled over into the bean market a little bit. And like I said, bean oil pulled back, allowed the beans to pull back a bit.
Corn managed to hold fairly strong. This despite, since we're talking about some policies, in Washington, D.C., not including E15 in bills, funding bills that are moving forward in Congress at this point. The corn growers are just, they are furious. We'll hear about that in a moment or two. I'm surprised that didn't spill over into the biofuel side of it or soybean side. You can talk about either of them.
Well, I think a little bit, like I said, I think the industry there is definitely a little bit disappointed. There was a lot of rhetoric maybe that was going to get into one of these funding bills. Now I'm hearing maybe it's going to be a supplemental bill, but with how tenuous Washington is right now, I wouldn't hold my breath in that aspect. It seems like these things only get done when they're forced to get something done at, you know, on a time delay crunch to fund the government per se. But like you said, corn market ended up still higher on the day. The reason being, look at not Brazil, but it is Argentina. Argentina is turning a little bit dry. Not a lot of rain in the next 10 days, Todd. The temperatures are warming up. Some of the longer range maps are trying to argue rain in day 10 to 15 day portion of the map, but we've seen that multiple times now where that rain does not pull forward. And I would argue you're seeing maybe the first glimpse of maybe a little bit of weather premium coming back into the corn market, and that provided support. We also obviously have this bitter cold temperatures coming in across the Midwest. Grain transportation is going to get very, very tight here, very hard to get stuff moving. So maybe you're seeing a little bit of buying ideas. We're going to feed a little bit more corn out there to keep the livestock warm, as well as maybe some winter kill fears for the wheat market, helping provide a little bit of a bounce in the wheat market today.
What do you see through the time that we get their prospective plantings report? Will there be opportunities for producers to market some old crop corn?
I believe there will be, Todd. I mean, you look at where you're at. I think the trade is falling on around 95 million acres of corn. That's still going to be too much with a trend line yield. But that being said, Todd, you've got three weather events we still have to get through. We've got this Argentina issue, which is starting to percolate a little bit. Then you got the safrinha crop. We obviously haven't even started planting that safrinha crop. And then, of course, you have the U.S. crop to be planted. And if you're here in the Eastern Corn Belt, you know there is some very, very dry soils in the Eastern Corn Belt right now. So traditionally, the market will give you an opportunity to sell grain close to break even or above break even. I would guess we will see some weather premium come into the market throughout the springtime. But because of the carryout, 2.2 billion, which I fear will be closer to 2.5 when it's all said and done due to the current overstating of the feed and residual category, those rallies probably need to be, you know, looked at as selling opportunities if they would arrive.
Normally, I do not ask the question in this way, but is there a reason for producers to set a floor under their old crop or under their new crop? At this point, and if so, how do they do it?
I would be a little bit hesitant to get too aggressive selling corn at 450, the new crop price. But if you're very nervous about it economically and you need to do some risk management, you can use futures, obviously a cash price. But I would prefer, if you did use a futures or a cash price, I guess I would use some options maybe as a way to re-own it, because you are selling it below cost of break even for a lot of, unfortunately for a lot of people, if you would sell corn here. Or you might consider using maybe just an option where you're putting a floor in place but leaving the top side open. Like I said, we're in a very weird dynamic, Todd. 2.2 billion bushel projected old carryout right now is not bullish. That carryout, like I said, I fear could be pushing 2.4, 2.5, is not bullish. And the U.S. acreage talk of 95 million is not bullish if you get it all planted. But what could go wrong? Argentina, safrinha, the U.S. And why is that really important? The world supply of corn, Todd, is at 10-year lows. So even though we've been increasing production here in the U.S., the world actual supply is dropping to 10-year lows. So if any one of those countries, or more than likely one or two of these countries, have a weather problem, I think you will see the market see an inflow of cash into the corn market. And that's why you want to, if you're selling grain, you want to be able to maintain some upside opportunity, via, like I said, puts that leave the top side open, or sell cash or futures and use options, calls maybe to re-own it to be able to partake some potential weather issue.
Thank you much, Jim. I appreciate it.
No problem. Stay warm out there, folks.
Mm-hmm. Jim McCormick is with AgMarket.net. Just one agricultural news item for the day. We'll read this verbatim from the National Corn Growers Association. It is headlined, "Corn Growers Furious with the New Development on E15. The House, it writes, is expected to advance a funding bill today that omits language that would allow consumers across the country to access fuels with a 15% corn ethanol blend, often referred to as E15. In response to this development, Ohio Farmer and National Corn Growers Association President Jed Bauer released the following statement. He says, "Corn growers are disgusted, disappointed, and disillusioned that after spending years of calling for passage of E15, Congress has again punted, and it has done so in a spectacularly weak and offensive way. Bizarrely, members of Congress are now planning," he says, "to establish a Rural Energy Council to explore this legislation as if we are in the beginning stages of discussing E15. The quote goes on, "We already have a bill," says Bauer. "We already have an agreement with the petroleum industry after months of negotiation. But instead of acting, Congress is now suggesting a process-ridden task force that kicks the can down the road once again. Congress is choosing to leave America's 500,000 corn farmers behind in favor of a handful of refineries." That's the one news item today, verbatim from the National Corn Growers Association. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at WILLAG.org, where soon enough you'll find a way to register for the All Day Ag Outlook to be held in Covington at the Beef House on Tuesday, March the 3rd. This is the 36th annual event. We'll cover the basics for the coming crop year. You can join the WILL Ag Analyst and the Farm Doc team for the whole of the day. And we'll do just the basics for the day, including the markets, the weather, trade, competition, and crop insurance. There are changes in all of those things that you'll want to be aware of going into the new growing season. Again, the All Day Ag Outlook is Tuesday, March the 3rd at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The registration fee covers all of the cost for the day, including your morning Beef House coffee and rolls, along with the Beef House lunch at the noon hour. Check out willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. We'll have registration information up soon, could be this afternoon or tomorrow. Again, Will Ag's All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana is Tuesday, March the 3rd. Put it on your calendar today. And thank you. You know, the Dudley Smith Farm Winter Meeting is coming up in Christian County, Illinois. That's Taylorville. On the 10th day of February, this one is targeted, I think, particularly at those folks who are interested in cattle production. And we're now joined by beef cattle specialist with University of Illinois Extension and educator. And we appreciate him taking some time. Travis Mateer is here. He puts this meeting together. Hi, Travis. Thank you for being with us. Let's start with some pretty simple questions. What is the Dudley Smith Farm Winter Meeting all about?
Yeah, thanks, Todd. So it's one of those meetings that traditionally we have focused on beef cattle topics and predominantly grazing. But if you look at the program this year, we've really diversified it a little bit. Now, there's still that cattle component, but we've got updated research through the Dudley Smith Initiative, research updates on cover crops and how fertility treatments impact water quality and nutrient loss, and then also drainage water recycling. And so those are some really cool projects that are going on at the Dudley Smith Research Farm. We also have a producer panel later in the day that's going to talk about soil health legacy. So we have a kind of wide array of topics to discuss this year. And so I think, again, if you're a row crop farmer and you're cover cropping, thinking about cover cropping, or you have a diversified farm with row crop and cattle, this meeting is going to touch on some topics that should get you excited and I think give you a lot of good information when you leave that day.
I feel like given the situation on the farm that there will be many that are interested in cattle production or possibly diversifying. And also the cover crop side, you have some folks from crop sciences there, agricultural engineering here on campus, and of course animal sciences on campus as well. There will be a panel discussion later in the afternoon with producers. That one's on soil health and legacy. You'll be leading that one. Can you tell me more about what that is?
Yeah, so I've got three gentlemen lined up that have either won a state or national award in conservation. And so they're going to share their experiences, how they've been able to, I think, add more resiliency to their farm and build that soil health legacy. And so we know that that's an important piece of farming. And so, again, these producers have been, I would say, pioneers in this area, but also are just going to lend their everyday experience because it's really, you know, we can get excited and read lots of articles, but and do lots of research projects, but the day in, the day out, the practices, what works on farm, we're going to share those experiences and have a candid conversation. So come ready with your questions and ask how things worked, you know, in the past. In the moment and in the future, I think we've got some really good panel members that are going to provide a lot of insight.
This should be a great day in Christian County at the Christian County University of Illinois Extension office there in Taylorville. It runs from 9 in the morning to 12:15. It does include lunch. Is there a registration fee, and how do you register?
Yeah, no fee, but yeah, we would like you to register online. That we've got a link, go.illinois.edu. DSF Winter 26. Find that online. You can search Dudley Smith Winter Meeting, and a lot of times it will pop up there. And we've started to populate this flyer through several email lists, and it'll be on University of Illinois Beef Cattle Extension Facebook page. You can find a link there. So, and you can always get a hold of me. My contact information is online on the extension staff listing.
Hey, thank you much, Travis. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Travis Mateer is an extension beef cattle specialist. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report. You can always register for the Dudley Smith Winter Meeting. It's in Christian County at the Taylorville University of Illinois Extension Office on Tuesday, February the 10th. That's USDA Report Day as well. You can also find it in our calendar at willag.org, willag.org. And the registration is hot. Linked there too. Let's check in on the global growing regions and see how they're doing with Mike Tenura. He is the president and CEO at T-Storm Weather in Naperville, Illinois. Hi, thanks, Mike, for being with us again. I think we actually have a lot of ground to cover today, particularly in South America. We should start in Argentina, maybe southern Brazil. I have been hearing that there's a lack of rainfall. Is this something that bears watching or is already of concern?
Well, it certainly needs to be monitored because it has been drying out over the last couple of weeks in southern Brazil and going back into last year across Argentina. There's not very much rain in the forecast for any of these areas, which is particularly unusual for southern Brazil. They average around 3 to 3.5 inches of rain per 2 weeks at this time of the year, and essentially getting no rain over the next 10 days just creates a major rainfall departure, because that's what we think is going to happen there. And the reason we think that's going to happen is because we have surface level high pressure that's hugging their coast, and that's a good recipe to dry things out and just kind of suppress all the rainfall. So how that ends up affecting soybeans is the question. You know, in Rio Grande do Sul, which is around 15% of their crop, they plant a longer season variety, kind of like we do here in the U.S., and that one will be sensitive for a while. So this lack of rain is affecting them at kind of a problematic time. So that's kind of piece number one. As you move north into Paraná and that whole region, they have a shorter season variety, and they are harvesting a little bit already because of the way their growing season works out. But this sudden lack of rain is not ideal for that crop either, because most of it would still benefit from some. So kind of a story that's developing there we need to keep an eye on. The same thing is happening in Argentina, but the big difference there is that the crop is planted a lot later, so even though it's drying out now, we can still have some nice rains in February and things will start to improve. Maybe the bigger concern in Argentina will be for their corn. It is going to be fairly hot in Argentina over the next 10 to 14 days, and heat on corn, as you know, is not a really nice recipe as the crop turns sensitive. Some of that crop is sensitive now, and it will be sensitive going forward. And because of that, that might be our bigger concern overall for these areas until we get some rains. And we don't think there's very many or very much rain, at least on the near-term horizon. Most thunderstorms will stay in far western Argentina, where the elevation is higher and the crop production region is much sparser. But then as we get into next month, some rain chances are out there, but Todd, they just don't look ideal as of today.
It takes care of a part of the central area of the continent. I'm wondering, though, in the soybean growing regions of Brazil, the center west, maybe the northern areas, is there a different story to tell there?
Well, it's a little bit different, and that is a really important region because that accounts for 60% of Brazil's soybeans. If you look at the north, where they plant the latest, that area has been drying out a lot over the last 30 to 40 days. And even though we've seen some thunderstorms over the last couple of days, there's not too many on the way going forward. Yes, there will be some, so not completely dry like we were talking about in southern Brazil. But you can make an argument that about 15% of that crop is, of the overall Brazil crop in there from that region, is going to be turning a little bit drier than it needs to be for an ideal crop. In central Brazil, where around 45% of the soybeans come from, they are much closer to harvest than these other areas, but they're going to be turning wet. So, you know, there's a lot of thunderstorms on the way for them because of cool fronts moving through. So, Todd, once you put all this together, it's kind of difficult to clearly state that we have, you know, significant problems in any one area of Brazil or Argentina, but there's all these little pieces that aren't quite right, and that's what we need to be following over the next couple of weeks.
In the United States, we're following something much closer at hand this weekend, starting today, in fact, in my part of the world. Really cold weather. Does this give you concern at all for the winter wheat crop anyplace in the United States?
Well, if you look at the absolute temperatures, you would quickly come to a conclusion that, hey, this is a big deal, because we'll see temperatures in the minus 10s and minus 20s across the northern third of the central U.S. coming up here over the next several mornings. But here's the thing, Todd. There is some snowpack in place, and before the really cold air arrives, we'll see a major storm move across the southern U.S. and even into the eastern U.S., and that will bring light snow to pretty much all of the plains and pretty much all of the Corn Belt. So we think that that's going to negate the potential effect of this. The only area that we would be concerned about is from Montana into southern South Dakota. This area might not receive more than a half of an inch of snow, and if that ends up being the case, and they're pretty much snow-free with temperatures in the minus 15 to minus 25 degree range, and mind you, that's not the wind chill, that's the actual air temperature, that would cause burn back and maybe even some winter kill. So that would be your area of concern. That probably accounts for around 10% of the U.S. hard red winter wheat crop, but of course, all of that wouldn't be wiped out or anything like that, just some damage within it. So that's the area to watch. But as you know, these winter kill situations, you never really know what happened until you get deeper into the spring, and sometimes even after that. So just a tricky one.
And one other thing, are there logistical issues you think that will come about?
Well, that's certainly a major problem for parts of the central and eastern U.S. The main uncertainty here is how far north is the heavy snow going to go? If you asked me about this a couple of days ago, I would be saying Oklahoma, Texas, through the Mid-South, and then moving into the southeastern U.S., North Carolina and Virginia. But things have been steadily shifting northward every 12 hours with these model runs. And if this continues for another run or two, then it's going to be affecting a much wider area of Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. And at this point in time, there's at least a moderate chance for heavy snowfall of more than 8 inches across all those regions. So we'll need to be watching this one real close over the next 24 hours. And there should be some clarity in this setup once we get into tomorrow morning, and certainly by tomorrow afternoon, because then the storm will only be around 12 to 24 hours out from the Corn Belt.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great talking to you, Todd.
That's Mike Tenora. He is with T-Storm Weather. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.